and thank you for choosing this Analyst Insight podcast from the Information Security Forum. Hello to our regular listeners and those just finding us for the first time. You're both very welcome. We're reaching a lot of people with these podcasts, which is great. Who knows? The person next to you in the coffee queue with their earbuds in might be listening as well. Thanks for the continued support. Tell your friends, tell your colleagues. We want these podcasts to reflect what you are dealing with or would like to hear someone else's views on. We do regard these podcasts as another way to do research for the ISF. So if there is something you are curious about, let us know. We'll find the people. We'll get them chatting. mark.ward@securityforum.org is the email address. And there are contact details on the Audio Boom page where every episode is available. So you can fill your boots, go crazy, listen to the lot. In this episode, we're returning to a subject that's become a bit of a theme over the last year or so, and that is careers in information security. This time, we're talking to the French arm of insurance firm AXA about the way it is trying to get younger people interested in a career in cyber. Why they wouldn't be interested? Don't know. Here to talk about that is Florence Berthaud, an executive director and deputy CISO at AXA, who is helping to run that program. Hello, Florence.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Richard. And thank you for this marvelous introduction for our podcast. And very happy to join our community today.
Good to have you here. We also have Benoît Thoreau du Lavinier, who is one of the younger people AXA has recruited. Hello, Benoît.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Richard.
Good to have you here. And as they said, and last but not least, we have ISF Principal Analyst Richard Absalom. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Florence. Hi, Beto. Il faut que je parle français de temps en temps. So I think I'm here to translate if necessary and maybe offer something useful, if at all possible, ever.
Yeah, you regularly do that, Richard, so you know, don't play yourself down. But I'm just curious about how you got into cyber. Was it even called cyber all those years ago?
No, I have no idea how I got into cyber. I have a degree in French and history, so I got into research, which got me into cyber eventually. So, I think we'll hopefully talk about things like attitude and aptitude instead of qualifications, for instance, as things to encourage people in, which is good for me because I think I have the right attitude and aptitude, but zero qualifications around cyber. So that there's hope for us all if we can get in.
Yeah, well, as a former journalist, I have zero knowledge about pretty much everything, but I know the right people to talk to, and hopefully, I'm sure we've got all the right people here. So, Florence, if you could start, just talk to us a bit about this project and why it was started and, what it hopes to achieve.
Yes, I have been working in the cybersecurity industry for 30 years now, Mark, and I think that this topic of shortage of resources has been growing in the last 10 years. I don't know if you feel that too. The explosion of ransomware has made cyber security an enterprise risk, I think, and hence has amplified the search for cyber security experts. Is that the situation you feel as well in the UK security industry?
Yeah, definitely. We've covered, we've talked to quite a few ISF members about the projects they're running to try and solve that shortage. I think because it's not just that they haven't got the right people, they just can't find any people as well. There's definitely a shortage of just people getting drawn into the industry. I don't know if you see that, Rich, with people you talk to as well.
Yeah, definitely not just an issue in France or the UK. This is a global issue, I think, in terms of that skill shortage. I think some studies have shown there's about a million job roles at any one time being advertised in cyber across the world. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously a case of everyone needs more expertise. But it's something I think it'd be interesting to talk about is, do we need those qualifications or do we just need people who are willing to learn and to progress on the job?
Yeah, but I think with the AXA project, one of the things you are trying to do is just let people know that cyber is a career. Because I guess a lot of people just don't know or think they want something not more glamorous necessarily, but more obvious, like, accountancy or something like that.
I completely agree with you, Mark. I think that in parallel to this growing need of cybersecurity skills, what we face is that at the same time, cybersecurity is still not a visible nor valued job for students. The young in high school hardly know that it can be a job. So we must start with that conclusion.
Yeah, well, I think as well, if they do know cyber, they only know a little bit about it, and they don't know the range of jobs that it can involve as well. But to bring Benoit in here, so did you think about cyber as a job at all before, you know, AXA got in touch, or you were recruited by AXA?
Before joining AXA, I don't have an idea to enter a cyber world, because I have a profile political science. But after my last bachelor's degree in political science, I began a new training in business and competitive intelligence with information security and cybersecurity options, which is very important in my training.
And Florence, are you? Is that one of the things you're doing, going out to schools, or colleges, universities, to let people know about the opportunities at AXA? Is that part of the project?
Yes, actually, within AXA, we have an initiative which is twofold, you're right. The first one, and it comes from a personal initiative, I do promote our industry, our cybersecurity industry, within high schools, within student forums, so that young people are attracted fresh from graduating from high school or from universities, and that they can think about our industry as a path for their career from the beginning.
And do those sessions go well? Do you get a lot of questions about what cyber is? And yeah, I'm curious about sort of how they react to what you're telling them.
Yes, I think young people know well the IT related jobs such as developers, but cybersecurity is still very blurred for them, and it's very important to show them the large spectrum of activities you can do within cybersecurity, from pen testing, from risk management, from governance. And I think this is what I do, so that I can attract the most profiles as possible.
So you're not particularly looking for people who have those IT skills or anything? It's more just, as Richard said, that aptitude and interest, I guess.
So the way we my first initiative is really to promote cyber security, so that those young people become and choose to become cybersecurity experts. The second part of our initiative, and that one is within AXA, I think does answer your question. Because we face this lack of resources, we have chosen to enlarge the field of profile we do hire. Either hiring young, very, very young or junior profiles like Benoit, and we do choose to upskill them in the following year. Or, yes, we do look for profiles, of course, in the IT circle first, but not only. And for instance, we also think about looking some profiles within the legal department, for instance, because it could be interesting to have another view on our stakes and risk. And we also think that those people could talk less geekish and more businessish.
Right. Yes. No, I think it's a good, yeah, I think you're right. There's that broad background is absolutely helpful. Rich, do you, thinking about the people you meet, talk to at ISF members, a lot of those do have technical skills, but a lot don't as well. And I think an increasing number.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I thought that was a really good idea that Florence was talking about, because you know, when I just think back to my own days at university and school, and I, you know, as much as cyber was a job or security was a job, my assumption was, oh, that's for geeks and nerds and people who understand IT. And, you know, if you ever saw the IT crowd, I'm not sure if it ever got to France. But yeah, it's the people that sit in the basement and say, have you turned it off and on again? And that really, you know, now, absolutely, that, you know, we see within our own team, within the ISF, we've got that real range of skills, from people who are more likely to talk to a business versus very technical backgrounds. And everyone, every organization, every information security function absolutely needs that. You know, the people that can understand the very technical details, the ins and outs of security, be able to do pen tests and, you know, actually, and secure coding, versus people who understand risk and what this means to the business, and can communicate that upwards, you know, to people who have to make decisions. So yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably maybe still a perception that needs to change in a lot of places, that it's not just a purely technical job where you have to be really good at, you know, coding and understanding the ins and outs of vulnerabilities. It's like, no, you have to be able to talk the language of business.
Very key question is there a French word for geek or nerd?
It's geek.
No. It's geek as well. Fabulous. Benoit, just to ask you a question about, have you been surprised at the things you've been doing at AXA? Is it what you expected?
At the beginning of 2023, I searched a job in any company, like energy company, defense industry, or banking and insurance. So I chose AXA because we propose a job offer and a good and expected news for me. It's a convergent security aspect. It involves information security, operational resilience, physical security. I like this concept because I don't have a profile just on cyber. I prefer a view, a security view, more generalist or global. And I chose this job because it's covered wide of this.
Yeah, it covers a lot of different things. So, and are you enjoying it? Is it good? It sounds quite tough because I think you're still studying and you're doing cyber AXA as well. Is that right?
My training alternates 2 days at school and 3 days in the company.
Yeah, because I know some friends of my kids are doing similar things, apprenticeships, and they have, you know, a couple of days in school and then some days at who's employing them. But that's quite a schedule to do. Yeah, but I think it pays dividends because you know, see both sides. Richard, I don't know if there's sort of, have you seen in other organizations, if they, you know, similar kinds of initiatives, or just if the, because I suppose a lot of those organizations as well are trying to find people who can help information security itself change. Because I think that's certainly something I've seen since I've joined the ISF, that it's not about technology anymore, and that you do have to talk to people about risk. But as well, you know, there's a very broad range of tasks there. But I just, yeah, you see that as well, just the types of people you talk to changing.
In a few organizations, I can't say I see this kind of program in lots of different places. I think it's really, I think it would be very good for more organizations to do it. But yeah, I don't think we see it loads. Listeners, feel free to disagree. Come back and say, hey, no, we've been doing this for years. But no, it's not something that people have mentioned about this specific type of program. You know, I think people are trying probably a few different ways of looking to recruit, going to university, you know, job fairs or things like Freshers Weeks, you know, going up and getting involved, but not to the extent of having a whole program around it to go and do further recruitment. So, yeah, from my point of view, this is, you know, what AXA is doing. The experience that Benoit has offered sounds great. You know, I think if there's more companies that can do it, I'm thinking of ideas that the ISF should be doing, you know.
Benoit keeps studying and keeps learning at school. And in the meantime, he can also contribute. He can also deliver for AXA. And at the end of his two-year courses, he will know AXA context by heart. And he will have grown on his security expertise, yes, both from his work within AXA and from his study at university. So it will, at the end of the day, it will be a very concrete and valuable investment for both AXA and Benoit, I think.
And is there any kind of commitment required from Benoit? So do you have to, you know, do AXA ask that you spend a certain amount of time with AXA once you've finished your training?
No, there is no contractual part in it. We are not obliged to propose him a contract. And is not obliged to accept our proposal. But once again, in this kind of partnership in France, when young students are comfortable and love their professional environment, they decide to choose and to accept a proposal when we make one.
I chose this training because I think I've learned on my job. And I study at school we can similar. And for example, my mission is to improve monitoring on the market, on the trade landscape, on the new technology and regulations, and understand security view in the world. In my training, I learn this. I learn how do output monitoring sections in the department.
Yeah, well, I think because we do a lot of that as well, but it's yeah, just keeping an eye on those threats, those risks, and yeah, understanding sort of the context that you're operating in. But Florence, is it quite a big program? Are you looking to recruit quite a lot of people?
We have just in my department, okay, we are a small team. We are a team of let's say 20 people internal within AXA. And this is the first time we have made this big bet, because as you can assume, it's also a lot of investment in terms of management, in terms of security awareness, so that Benoît can understand our context, can also understand of semantic or taxonomy in terms of cybersecurity. So we spend a lot of time with him to teach him what he has to learn in terms of basics, in terms of security. But he learns very fast, and he, as we mentioned before, he really brings a new a way of thinking. And a new way also to communicate and promote cybersecurity. As he mentioned, his first mission was to deliver a Security Watch newsletter. And because of his generation and because he's not a geek, he really made it very user-friendly with an overview, not entering too much into technical details like we would do as geeks. Because we like to do that. So yes, I think this kind of fresh profile can really deliver some value, especially in terms of communication and new way of selling cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think that's well, it sounds great. I think, you know, it talks about that need for diversity within the team, just because you have different ways of thinking, you know. Yeah. Of course, Benoit is going to understand younger people and how how you think more than any of us. Yeah, and so you need that kind of range within any team to succeed, rather than have lots of people that think in the same way and have the same qualifications and the same background. You know, that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, we certainly found that at the ISF. We've had some interns in. And yeah, it was quite a shock for them to hear about our attitudes as well. It's not just that they, you know, have different ways of thinking about the world, but it goes both ways.
Certainly, no, it's the type of environment and job where you absolutely need to question everything, right? The job is really about looking for things that can go wrong, you know, thinking about risk, trying to identify threats. You can't just agree with your colleagues all the time. Like, yeah, you have to be able to think differently and challenge. Which I think is, yeah, but again, having that diverse, yeah, kind of set of backgrounds is really helpful.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, that, you know, I think we said before on the podcast, sort of asking that question, well, why do you do it like that? I mean, is always good, because it does show up, it gets people to justify it. And if it's just, well, we've always done it like that, then that's not a good way to do it necessarily. You need to, it's worth investigating why. Florence, it sounds as well like it's you don't just go out and hire the people and put them in a job and then let them get on with it. It does demand quite a bit of an organization that wants to do this. So do you have any advice for any organization that would want to do something similar?
Benoît is lucky because he's direct, let's say, mentor, Fabrice.
Yes.
He has a high quality for transmission, okay? And he likes transmission. So I think you must find the right binôme, I would say, between the internal and the mentor, so that this transmission can be a success, okay? And if people and if the manager does not want to play the game by the beginning, it won't work. So you need to choose the right mentor within your company who can support and yes, make the entrepreneur grow within the company.
Right. Yeah, I think that mentor or that sort of that willingness to just take it on is it's absolutely part of it, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because I guess otherwise it'll just won't. No one will enjoy it, and it won't do what you hope it'll do as well. But is there? Are you learning from Benoit as well? Does it change the way that you has it changed your department and the way you operate?
Yes, as I said, I think Benoit drives us towards simplicity. When we talk with him, he said, "I did not understand this acronym. I did not understand that word," and so yes, it makes us aware that we use a lot of technical words that no one in the business won't understand as well. So I think it is a good barometer, a good footprint of how technical we are and how much too much technical we are. And thanks to him, we can have a step back and maybe adjust our communication so as I mentioned, be less geekish and more value-ish and business-ish.
Yeah, more human, I think. Less geeky, more human.
And, understandable, at least.
is this the time, Mark, to mention the Benoit test? We have our own Benoit test within the ISF. It sounds like, if you don't understand the acronym Benoit, it's a good thing that the business won't understand. We have the same thing within our team. We have a French colleague called Benoit, and we like to give him a sentence or a paragraph and say, if you don't, he's got very good English, but French is his first language. If it doesn't make sense to Benoit, we don't publish it.
When I joined our team, we had our first meeting all together with highlights on specific topic. And at the end of the meeting, I asked Benoit, how much percentage of what we say did you capture? What did you say? 20%? Yes, less than a third. So yes, it's because we are too technical, because we are too focused on technical details and not focused on giving the overview and speaking about risk. So yes, having this kind of fresh profile can drive us towards the right direction.
There we go. I think we've got a new finding. We can introduce, the Benoit test.
Does Benoit know that we call it that? He does. All right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm very happy I've been talking about it. We've mentioned it before. It's it's just that idea. You can call it after whoever you want, but try and test that what you're saying makes sense to an outside audience.
I had that recently. I was doing a presentation to a German company and just talking to some German colleagues about that. And there was some words in it that I thought were quite standard English, but weren't. and that had to be changed. So I think that good communication and that reflecting back and forth, it's a very useful part of this. Just finally to come to you, Benoit, would you recommend this to other people your age? Is it a good way to get into a job? Is it, you would recommend cyber?
I think about this model is very good for to learn quite fast. Yeah, but it's complicated because my mind is disturbed between school and the company. But my student colleague at school is working in cybersecurity company, or their job is similar or close to cyber, but the problematic with cybersecurity is very hard at the beginning. But I think it's a good science and recommend to discover this new for this the cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think I think it is a bit of a discovery to working in cyber. But what I love about it is it's always different. Not every day it changes, but it does change a lot. And there's a lot of new things. And it's, I'm quite a curious person. I think it satisfies my curiosity and it's fun. It's fun to find things out. You find that, Rich? Is sort of you happy where you are? I guess you've been at the ISF quite a while.
That's why I'm still here. Yeah, I've been with in at the ISF and therefore covering security for 8 years, and there's always something new. There's new topics, there's new threats, there's new ideas, and yeah, keeps me interested. I think it's the same. I'm driven by curiosity.
Yeah, and you, Florence, as well. It sounds like you've enjoyed your time in cybersecurity as well.
Yes, and what is interesting is that, as I mentioned, I want to raise awareness about the interest of working within security in front of students or young people, but we try to do the same within AXA as well. We try to attract our colleagues and outside the IT circle. So there are some HR forums, let's say, set up by the HR department where you can promote your family, your professional family. And this is a way for us within AXA to attract also interesting profiles and to make cybersecurity also more visible within AXA. So we have some work to do within AXA as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's important because I think that IT crowd television show is all about geeks in the basement. And I think, yeah, IT needs to, and information security needs to get out the basement, really, or at least have that, changed views. And hopefully this podcast has done some of that. But thanks to Benoit, thanks to Florence, thanks to Richard for your contributions. And thanks for listening. Tell your friends. You can now find ISF podcasts on all major podcast platforms. Look for our page on Audio Boom where you can subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. The podcasts are also available at securityforum.org, where you can also learn more about ISF research, tools, and guidance. Thanks for listening.